Well, it's really good to be here tonight, and I see some faces that I know, and a few that I don't know. Anyhow, for those who don't know us, we are Norman Ange McCready, and we work with New Tribes Mission, and we have done since 1986. We went into the mission and training, and in 1990 we went to Papua New Guinea, and we worked there for 12 years as support missionaries. I'm a school teacher, and my job is teaching missionary children, and Norman, he's a builder, and his job is building houses for missionaries. And we really loved our work out there, and we recommend it heartily to every one of you. With no regrets, we look back over our life, and we're so thankful that the Lord allowed us to go there and to serve him in Papua New Guinea. It wasn't always easy, but then it's not easy at home either, is it? There's problems wherever you go, and if you're walking with the Lord and keep your eyes focused on him, he will bless you. And we came home in 2002 with four children. Our oldest is 27, our youngest now is 18. Well, we came home in 2002 to get our two oldest settled. Rebecca was 18 and Matthew was 16 then. And our plan was to stay home 2 years and go back to Papua New Guinea in 2004. But when we were home, I took a virus and was tired all the time. And we weren't able to go back to the field in 2004. We had to resign from the mission. And it was really sad hearts we did that. It was actually harder to step out of the mission than it was going into the mission. And that had been a big step at the time when we sold our house and we gave up our jobs. And we went by faith to Bible school. But it was even harder to leave the mission because it's like part of our family and we've been there for so long. And but anyhow, we stepped out and we stayed home here in Northern Ireland, Waterby House in Lisburn, and normally back to building. And I did a bit of supply teaching whenever I started to get better again. And 2009, the virus burnt itself out, as the doctor said it would do. And I was feeling a lot better. And so we were praying about going back to the mission. And during the time we were home, Norman had been taking different teams out. He'd gone to Papua New Guinea 3 times, the different teams. He'd gone to Greece and he'd gone to Ivory Coast with teams. And we really, something was on our heart because Norman went into the mission through a summit team. That's how we got into New Tribes Mission. It was going to Norman and Columbia in 1985. And after that trip, during that trip, the Lord spoke to him. And after that trip, we went into the mission. But anyhow, through Thursday night, we were praying about going back to Papua New Guinea. And that's what we really wanted to do. But New Tribes Mission approached us and asked us if we would take on the job as summit coordinators and if we would take teams out to different parts of the world and expose people to missionary work. And it's what we'd already been doing and it's something that we enjoyed in some ways. And we thought, well, that's the door the Lord's opening. Maybe that's what we should do. So we prayed about it and we talked to our pastor about it and we decided, yes, we would do this job. But it wasn't something that we really wanted. I would much rather have gone back to Papua New Guinea. I love teaching. And I really enjoy being in the classroom. And this job of summit coordinators is not something that I would choose to do. You know, sometimes the Lord asks us to do things that we don't really want to do and we don't really like doing. And I remember my kids were wee and I was trying to get them to do chores and things and we turned up their nose and didn't want to do it. And I said, well, as you have to do, you don't always get doing what you want to do. And so sometimes we don't get even as adults doing what we want to do. And I would prefer to be teaching, but the Lord has given us this job. If we look back now over the last 2 years, I can see why he didn't let us go back to Papua New Guinea. Shortly after we went into this job, my dad, he's elderly and he had a stroke many years ago. He's paralyzed down one side, but he fell and broke his good leg. And for 6 months, he was off his feet and was hospital for 3 months. So I was going back and forth looking after him. And then another elderly member of the family on Norman's side, he took dementia. And so we've been looking responsible for him. And then my older brother, he took ill and was in hospital for a few weeks and he passed away. And then Norman's dad last year, he took cancer. And after a few months, he passed away too. So the Lord knew we needed to be home this last 2 years and not in Papua New Guinea. And maybe you're here tonight and the Lord's closing the door on you. And there's something you want to do and you're not able to do it. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a job. I don't know, maybe it's a course at school or something. The door's closed and you're really disappointed. Well, sometimes God's got something better for you. And that was the case with us. We'd want to go back to Papua New Guinea, but God knows what's best. And he gave us this job because he knew we needed to be here. And so God closes doors for reasons. And you just have to accept his will and do what he wants you to do. Anyhow, we took on this job, which takes teams out to different parts of the world. First year we went to the Philippines. And then last year we went to Papua New Guinea, Brazil, Philippines, and Thailand. And it's very nice, you know, we're all around the world. That's the nice part of the job. The hard part of the job is organizing it. And I don't like administration, like working on computers all the time. I don't like booking people's tickets and visas and all those types of things. And I'll tell you how bad I am. It's a job that I just don't really enjoy at all. And last year we were going to, with 3 teams going, And Norman, he was busy working full-time. He's doing building work, so he does have to support us. And I was doing a bit of teaching, and we were taking meetings, and we were really busy. And with these three teams going, the team going to Papua New Guinea, and Norman's going on that team. And then there's a team going to the Philippines, which I was taking with another Norman Murphy, who's helping us out because we had this split up to all these teams. So we were both going, went to London together with the teams. And that night, Norman flew off with his team of eight to Papua New Guinea. And the Philippines team, we stayed over in London, and we were leaving the next morning to go to the Philippines. And when we got to the airport at 6 o'clock, we got our passports out and we put them into the machine to get our boarding passes. And it wouldn't read any of them. And I thought, what's wrong? All these machines can't be wrong. What could be, you know, what's wrong here? So Norman Murphy went and asked the guy, and he said, he looked at things and says, sure, you were supposed to fly yesterday. And there we were, 12 people standing. And this was the 6th of July. We were supposed to fly on the 5th. And whose responsibility was it? Nah. Well, if there'd been a hole in the ground, I would have fallen in gladly and been buried. It was the most awful time of my life. And everybody was standing looking at me. And thank the Lord, Norman Murphy was there. He's a very calm man. He used to do summit. And he's now in Thailand. But he was very calm. He said, well, we'll just have to wait. And we went to see KLM. They could do nothing for us. I said, we have to wait until 9 o'clock to travel agent open. So we rang them at 9 o'clock. First of all, we rang New Tribes. And then we rang them. And I said, well, you know, I'll tie KLM. So there's nothing they could do, but we have to buy new tickets. And so rang New Tribes again. I said, look, well, we'll just go ahead, buy them through New Tribes. And if we can get them. So we spent all day, the travel agent, trying to get more tickets. It was in July, busy time for flying. But you know, the Lord answered prayer, and by the end of the day, we had got tickets to fly the next day on the same plane, all 12 of us, which was amazing. We thought we were going to split up, and some go some days, and some would go another day. And we had a flight to get at the other end in a couple of days as well, so we couldn't miss that. It was a nightmare. But anyhow, the Lord was really good, and he got us tickets on the same plane, and all together, and at the same price what we had originally paid. Now, our tickets that we had booked for Brazil had gone up £500 each from we booked them until we actually flew. So I thought whenever we were, the same thing would happen with these tickets. But they didn't. God was good. They were at the same price. It was £7,000. And I went to stay that night again in another hotel or bed and breakfast place. And I went there and I was thinking, oh Lord, how are we going to pay this money? And New Tribes have said they'd pay it. It's not their fault. And £7,000. How many days am I going to have to teach to try and pay this money off? But we were so thankful that we asked the Lord, how could I have made this mistake? Because we've looked, Norman had checked all the tickets for the Philippines, or the Papua New Guinea, checked all the tickets for Brazil, but he didn't look at the Philippines one because he wasn't going there. I was supposed to get them to Norman Murphy 2 weeks before we went, but we just didn't happen to meet. When we did meet, we didn't have the tickets. I said, don't worry, just bring the tickets with you, Angela says. That's fine, you can give them to me when you get there. So I thought, why has this happened? Anyhow, we got on the plane and off we went, and I was so relieved to get to the Philippines. And we were there that night, and Norman got a message on his phone. He didn't answer. He thought somebody didn't realize he's in the Philippines. But he texted his wife. He didn't know the number. And he said, look, tell that person whoever it is that I'm in the Philippines. And the next morning, I came down and says, guess what? I said, no, he got back to me. That was a travel agent, Greer's travel agent in Ballymena. And they've been in consultation with KLM. And they have agreed that they will transfer the tickets for £300. And so the Lord really answered prayer. And you know, sometimes we are weak and we make mistakes. But God even overrules our mistakes. And we serve a very faithful and wonderful God. And I feel very inadequate with this. Some of you want to come and teach with us after you hear these stories. But you know, the Lord just showed our whole team, showed me, showed all of us how powerful and how wonderful he was. Like the KLM, didn't need to do that. And we just praise the Lord that they did that for us. And we were able to do our project. And this year, praise the Lord, we got everywhere we were supposed to be at the right date. But again, it was very stressful trying to organise people to go on teams. And you think you've got your team filled, and then the last minute people drop out. And we booked all our tickets to go to the Philippines. We had 12 people going there, and we put all the numbers in, so the passport numbers in. And then we realised one girl hadn't got her passport. And she had sent away for it, and it hadn't come back. And so we had to get the date extended, and we waited another day, and still didn't come, and another day, and had to extend it and extend it. My hair is getting grayer and grayer. But this is not going to work out. But in the end, it came, praise the Lord. And then just on the 26th of June, we were going to the Philippines with our team on the 4th of July. 26th of June, had all the names in for the tickets for Brazil. And the next thing, I got an email on Monday morning from a girl to say, sorry, I can't get the money. I'm not going. And I already had a name into the travel agent. So I rang them again, and they said, well, we haven't sent the name onto Palm Air flight yet. So we probably could have taken off, but we'll lose your deposit and everything. So anyhow, I said, Rebecca, I can't. My daughter just happened to be home for that weekend. She lives in Liverpool. She just happened to be there that weekend. And I said, Rebecca, I can't cope with any more of this. The Lord's just going to have to take care of this. Way. I can't do it. And she said, at that moment, I know a fellow over in Liverpool called Chris. He was interested in maybe going to Brazil. And Caleb, our other son, he was lying in bed, and he was off work that day too, which he shouldn't have been. And he said, I know another Chris from Castlewell, and he's interested in going to Brazil. And by the end of the evening, we had two people to take the place of the girl who dropped out and to fill our whole team because we'd had another extra place. So the Lord keeps you hanging on to the very last minute sometimes. And maybe you're in that situation tonight and you think, Lord, what are you doing? And sometimes he just wants to stretch your faith and stretch your faith and stretch your faith, but he is faithful to the very end. And it's great that we serve a faithful God, isn't it? But our responsibility is to be faithful to him. And I wonder tonight, are you being faithful? Are you doing what he has asked you to do? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? He asks us sometimes to do things we don't really like doing, and he really stretches us, but he's promised that in his strength, and that our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And that's how God is glorified. Whenever we're strong, we can do it ourselves, don't need God, but when we're weak, then God can be glorified in our lives. And tonight maybe he's asking you to do something that maybe you're not comfortable with, maybe you're afraid. Well, God is faithful, and you just need to be faithful and do what he asks you to do, and he will direct and he will guide you. And you know, it's been a privilege to be able to serve the Lord all these years, and he's never once let us down. He's provided for us financially, spiritually, emotionally, and he's answered many, many prayers, and it's just been wonderful to serve him. We'd recommend you wholly to follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
You get all that, just foxes like lightning, isn't she? I can never keep up with him. It's nice to be here tonight, young people. If you're older, good to have you too. I would love you. I would love you all to come with me on a missionary trip. How would you like to come on a missionary excursion? And not come home for 3 weeks and help a missionary. And this year was one of a great year. I was in Burkina Faso, out there building houses for a building for orphans and for widows. And they're making soap to pay to buy food. And that's all. But it's just a joy to be out there in just above Ivory Coast. And then I came back after January, and we went out to a place called the Philippines. I went to the Philippines and put a water hose the full length of two meters, if you thought 2 meters or 2 kilometers would be. I don't know if that's a mile and a half or a bit more. But we put this pipe was put right down from a spring on the top of the mountain to help the people so they have nice clean drinking water. They still drink in the river up till we got this clean water from them. And wasn't it a privilege to be part of that? And I would love some of you to come out and do something like that. We just don't go out and preach the gospel to these people. We go out and we try to help them as well. And it was a real privilege, and it was hard work. I felt sorry for all the young girls. The sweat was blinding them, because it's 33 degrees heat, and you're digging all day long in the sun. And I'm used to doing that sort of work, because I'm in the building trade. But a wee girl doing it, I was really feeling for them. But thank the Lord for those who are willing to go. And maybe in this coming year, you come out with us. We're hoping to go to Indonesia in February if you're free, but it'll be a kind of you have to be fit. I'm not fit. And I'll tell you what, we're going up a river for 6 hours and to see different language groups in tribes areas and to see how a church is planted out in a foreign country. If you can get the time off, we'd love to take you with us. And then we hope to go to Papua New Guinea in May. We've already got 9 people. We hope to fill that whole road of people to go to Papua New Guinea in May. And that'll be the end of May the 28th, right through till June, the 17th of June. And then we come back home, and we go out in July to the Philippines again with another team. And then we come home, and was that it? Mozambique. I keep losing track. How do you like my job, brothers and sisters? Wouldn't it be something? I tell you, I get tired. I've never thought I'd ever get tired of airplanes, but I'm tired of them. But it's a real privilege to be part of God's work and the things that we can get doing in his work. Now tonight, I'm going to, before I do this, does anybody here support Manchester United? Oh dear. I want to tell you a joke. I heard a joke about that the other day. What's the difference between Manchester United and a black taxi? Black taxis only let 5 in. Sorry about that. Nevertheless, I want us to turn God's word right now to Luke chapter 5. And I want us to read the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5. Reading from verse 1 of chapter 5 of Luke. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when he had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. Just let's pray for us a wee minute here. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your encouragement through your word, how you have promised to take care of us and to supply all our needs. And Lord, if there's someone even here tonight or some other far away land, Lord, and they're struggling and they're worried about something, Lord, they're worrying how to meet that bill, they're worried about what their children are going to do in the future, they're worried about the partner they're going to have in life. Lord, there's so many things that can come in like a storm. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, even through your word. And Lord, you've told us that we have to go and to warn other people about how they could be lost and go into a crisis eternity. And I pray, Father, tonight that we would see that we have a job to do for you as your ambassadors. And I pray, Father, you'll speak to us tonight. And we thank you for your word, Lord. Speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name.
We see here in the very first verse of this, it says here, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Well, you see today, how many people would be interested even to come to church or to hear God? Not as many as it used to be in years past. But we see here that people wanted to hear what God, the Lord Jesus, was saying. And you know, we live in an age where people are caught up in themselves, and I hope that's not the way of us as young people. We are caught up in ourselves. There's a little book, I just recently seen it, and I can't remember the name of it, but these are the 4 points it says. I, me, mine, and myself. Are you like that? I, me, and myself. I tell you, friends, that's the sort of an age we're living in. We live in a very selfish age, where people, all they think about is themselves. They're caught up in themselves and the things of the world. And over in Philippians 2:21 it says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ's. Is that true of us? Do we seek the things which are above, and not the things upon the earth? It says that in Colossians 3:2. We're not to set our affections on things. We're meant to set our affections on things above, and not on things of this earth. And yet, we as Christians seem to do that, don't we? We don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't do all the worldly things or gamble. But guess what? We get caught up in things like buying nice cars and nice houses and Not that there's anything wrong with that. But what has God has told us to do? We buy the latest clothes, the best, the latest gear, the latest computers, the best of all the best we can buy. And you know what? As long as we're doing it to God's glory, it's okay. What? Is that what God wants us to do? Buy worldly things, get caught up in the world. In such a way that we haven't time for God and for what He has told us to do. And, you know, the thing is this. Here's a question for you. Are we hearers of the word or doers of the word? God told us when He left this scene of time to go ye into all the world and to preach to every creature. We have tribal men tonight, and I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this. They're living in fear and in superstition and afraid to die. And you know why? Because whenever a person dies in one of these language groups, they could have what they call malaria, or maybe just a sickness that would kill that person. But they think someone played sorcery on that person, and they go around the tribe. And one of the elders of the tribe will go around and say, "Oh, you did it." But guess what? They'll murder that person. They kill that person. And they live in constant fear that when somebody dies, that they could be the next person to be killed because of someone who dies. And you know, it's only the God's word that sets him free. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And you know what? The Lord Jesus will set them free. And we have seen it. We have seen the change in people's hearts once they hear the wonderful word of the Lord Jesus and how that He died for them on the cross, saving from their sins. But you know, here we read again, verse 3, it says, "Thrust out a little from the land." And He sat down and He taught the people out of the ship. Brothers and sisters, have you ever thought that the Lord might want you to thrust away from Northern Ireland and to try and reach these people? There are millions of them today, thousands of them. In Papua New Guinea, there's over 850 languages. And they're all different tribes that have not got an opportunity of hearing the gospel. Now, we've got some of them already reached, over 67 of them. But I tell you what, there's still hundreds still not reached. And it's only young people like yourselves with the ability that God has given you could reach those people. But I wonder, are you willing to go and launch away and leave your land, to leave your wee shores at Ulster? Or are you going to get caught up in the things of the world? Get a nice bank balance, have a big business. That's all right doing that if you do it to God's glory. And say the Lord give you a business of a factory and you made millions. You could give those millions to the Lord, couldn't you? And help some missionary who's going to do the work. The problem is, we don't need all the money. We need people to do God's work. God can use you if you're willing to go.
He says, thrust out a little from the land. And that's when He's seen all the multitudes. And you know, to launch out is a big step. I remember my wife and I, when we launched out from our wee house back in Cumber. I'm a Cumber man. And she sat against the wall. And a man came and took our couch out through the door, which our mother bought her for a wedding present. And the tears run down her face. And I had bought my first JCB digger because I was in the building trade. And that broke my heart. I walked, this man came to buy my digger. And I walked around that digger. And I worked hard to get that out thing. You know what? It's probably a bucket of rust now. It's probably in somebody else's new car. Could be changed into scrap, you see. But you know what? The Lord provided me, later years, the church in Northern Ireland got together and they bought me a nice digger. And we took it back to Papua New Guinea and we dug foundations and put water mains in and that way. And all kinds of things. And the Lord provided in a wonderful way. And the Lord has never let us down. He's blessed us with so many things over our lifetime. And because we were faithful to go out and to serve Him. But you know, here was a load of fish coming. And sometimes you can toil all night and catch nothing. As it says there, they toiled all night at verse 5 and they caught nothing. And you know, many years sometimes missionaries go out and they toil for years and years to learn a language. And they never, it I don't get it through the end. And sometimes it takes 4 years, sometimes it takes 7 years, depending how hard the language is. And then the best thing about it all is to start teaching the people about the Lord Jesus. You start off in creation from Genesis right through up to the cross. And eventually, with much preparation and with a good testimony before the people, they lead the tribe, these language group people to the Lord. They reach them with the gospel and set them free. Set them free. And you know, some men years ago, to show how much they loved their wives, used to hit them with a stick. Imagine hitting your wife with a stick. You wouldn't do that, would you? maybe you feel like doing it, but you shouldn't. The thing was this. Whenever those tribal people got to know and came to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, the reason the scriptures, you have to love your wife as you love yourself. So you wouldn't hit yourself with a stick, so you wouldn't. So they never hit their wives anymore. You know, the wives thought that they didn't love them anymore. Because whenever a man hit their wife, it meant they loved them. And whenever he didn't hit his wife anymore, he didn't feel, they weren't loved anymore. That wasn't the truth. It's funny how different cultures, different ways of looking at things. But nevertheless, we have to be faithful. My heart was kind of broke this year. I went away to the land of Brazil. And we took a 12-hour drive in a big coach with the team up into this river. And we lay in the sand on the beach of the river and looked up at the stars. Beautiful. But when we arrived there, an Indian man came out of the jungle right up to the bus. And he says to me, he said to the missionary, you can understand a little bit in the language, he says, when are we going to get a missionary? When are we going to get a missionary? And it really struck home to me. Here was us, there was 18 of us on this bus. And we're all saved, we're all Christians, we know the Lord as our Savior. And here's a whole tribe on a big island, one of the biggest islands in Brazil, where fresh water goes around it. And these people still have not got an opportunity of hearing the gospel. And yet, our churches in Ireland, we have them every 10 miles. It's evangelical churches that preach the gospel every week. And if you want to hear the gospel, you can hear it. We can go to bookstores and get the Bible. We can get books about the Bible and study the Bible. And yet, here's people who haven't got it in their own language. They don't know that they need to be saved. They're living in fear constantly. Brothers and sisters, we have a job to do. Can we say, like Simon, who takes the master at his word, and he let down his nets with faith? Was he? The Lord Jesus told him to let down his nets with faith. There was no, they toiled all night and got nothing. But then the Lord says, there's fish there, go ahead and do it. And they caught fish. They were obedient. And you know, God maybe wants you to be a fisherman for him. I don't know. Have you ever asked the Lord Jesus what he wants you to do? Have you ever asked him where he wants you to be in the future? Have you really seeked his will for your life? Verse 7. Go down to verse 7. And he backed on to his partners and the ship, and he stood and he says, come and help them. And you know, there's missionaries today and they would love you to come and help them. We have tribal missionaries in the jungle. And guess what? They need food supply. They need people. You don't have to be a great preacher. You can go to town and you can buy them all their groceries. You can bring them back the things and supply that they need. And then a pilot, he flies that into the jungle on a wee grass airstrip for these people. Would you come and help a missionary today? Would you be willing to leave your shores of this land and go and help them? And then we go over to verse 10. Time's gone on. And so was James and John and the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. He had a fear. And maybe you're here tonight and you have a fear. And you have a fear of going out and leaving your mom and your dad. You're leaving your loved ones here to go away into a foreign country. It's only natural to have fear. The Bible tells us to fear not. If you read Matthew 10, 30 and 31, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You think God doesn't know about you?
Maybe some of us eat, doesn't have to count too many. I don't mean that in the wrong way, brother, back there. But fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than the sparrows, it says. You know, the Lord loves us very much. He does love you very much. And so often I wonder why we're so long-faced when God loves us so much. He sent his son to die on the cross for us because he loved us so much. He wants us to be soul winners. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that wins souls is very wise, is wise. When you want to be a wise Christian, when you want to be a wise servant for him. Matthew 4:19 says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, friends, the harvest is great, but the labourers are few. Tonight, and then he said in the last verse here, they forsook all and they followed him. I wonder, are we going to forsake all that we have and to follow the Lord Jesus? Or are you going to hang on to the things of the world that's keeping you away from God's will? Are you hanging on to things that you shouldn't be? Things that maybe are in secret that we don't know about? God knows our hearts. I don't know you. But the Lord knows each one of us. And what you're living for, is it worth dying for? I've seen this sign somewhere. I read this week notice that says, what you're living for, is it worth dying for? Do you ever think of that? What are you living for? You know, our life on this earth is very short. You know why? I'm going to show you something here. I'll get my wife to show you. This is an American tape measure. It's a wee illustration. No, it's in feet and inches. They never got onto metric. They're still in the old style. But you know, if we lived on earth for three score and ten, this is 70, right? And this is 70 inches, right? Every one of those inches represents a year of your life. And many people here are 16. Put your hand up. Anybody? Anybody 20? Don't be afraid. Anybody 21 or 22? 22. There you are. There's a man there, 22. Look at how much of your life would be used up already. Anybody 25 or... There's 25. What's the 25? Look at that. That's how much of your life's been used up. Look at all you've got left. Right? Anybody here 35? Anybody 35? Anybody 28? Anybody 24?
You've done 25, dear.
Oh, that's right. There must be someone. Is there anybody any older than that? No? That is powerful. Isn't it great that you've got that wee bit more to live? You know, and you know what? You know something? Not one of us knows what a day brings forth. And if you lived here 35, that's half your life gone. See, we don't know how long we're going to live. We could die in the morning and every one of us could take a heart attack. Not, wouldn't like that to happen, but say one of us died. If you died tomorrow, what have you done for the Lord Jesus? You see my point? If you lived here 70, it's not very long really to your 70. And people think the way you live on this earth, they're going to live forever. And you know what? If you think about eternity, it goes on. Even you lived here 100, eternity goes on and on. On and on, doesn't it? And never stops. And guess what? What have we done with this little short time that we're on earth? What have we done with them? What have we done with our time? Right, as every year goes down, before you know it, as our life is used up, this wee time on earth, every year is used up, we're right into eternity. What have we done for God? Brothers and sisters, we have a job to do. But are you willing to do what God wants you to do? You know, I was thinking of an Indian. And it was the Indian I was telling you about. How is that tribe ever going to hear about the Lord Jesus unless someone goes and tells them? How are they going to ever hear? Here we are, all us Christians. Many of us are going away and leaving our land. But how can they hear God's word unless someone tells them?
I'll leave that there before. Thank you.